Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and your kindness and your faithfulness. We enter your word with the reverence that indeed the word deserves. This is the infinite wisdom of God that has been compressed and coded into human words. We thank you for all the revelation and knowledge that is hidden in this word. Your Bible tells us that it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but indeed it is the honor of kings to search it out. And therefore, as we come to enter your word, we recognize we do not approach it with just natural mental wisdom. And therefore, we ask for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, that indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. We also pray that you will put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all that will hear me, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to them, not only those who are physically present, but also those who are watching and will be listening to this message wherever, all over the world, remotely, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, in particular to cause our wills to become more humble, our minds more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray that as we speak, Lord God, the power of God will be released in great measure to follow and back the words. Power that will heal. Yea, power that will deliver. Power that will break yokes. Yes, power that will free men, so that indeed they will become doers of the things which they hear and are hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful. Father, that I might deliver this word indeed with precision. Redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bring out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed and said, Amen. Well, we're going to continue our study this morning in the book of 2 Peter. My last lesson, I was teaching us from 2 Peter chapter 1, where we're looking at what some Bible commentators have called spiritual arithmetic, where Peter tells us that, you know, we need to be partakers of the divine nature through the exceeding great and precious promises, but he didn't stop there. He went on to say, you know, and beside this, in other words, there's something to add, you know, add to your faith, knowledge, or rather virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, temperance to temperance, patience to patience, brotherly kindness to brotherly godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. And he went on to say, which I find extremely important, that, you know, if you don't have these things or you don't develop them, then you're going to be blind. The modern translation says you become short-sighted, spiritually short-sighted, you can't see afar off. And secondly, you know, but if you, on the contrary rather, if you do them, then you will make your calling and election sure. And so, in summary, what we do is that we use the Word of God as a vehicle to receive the life of God. The life of God is the spiritual substance that is inside God that makes God God. Now, God gives us two things. He gives us the knowledge of the existence of that life. Because if you don't know something exists, you can't even get it. You know, so firstly, he tells us that there's something called life. Then secondly, the Word of God not only reveals to us that there is life, but it also tells us that we can get it. You know, by using these exceeding great and precious promises, we could be partakers of the divine nature. And by the virtue of that divine nature, when we put it in our hearts in sufficient measure and release it, the power thereof, it will cause us to escape the corruption that is inside the world through lust. We gave the illustration of, you know, the escape velocity of a rocket that is getting out of the Earth's gravitational field. In a similar kind of way, and I explained that time that, you know, you really have to give a lot of power to boost the rocket. Otherwise, if you don't give it enough power, energy, kinetic energy, we call it in physics, which is just energy of motion, you know, it will not be able to escape the Earth's atmosphere. And I gave you a simple illustration. If you take a stone in your hand and you just, you know, throw it up, you know, it will go up a little bit and then it'll come down. If you throw it with more strength, it'll go further. If you throw it with a lot of strength, you'll go really high, but it'll still come down. Because your hand doesn't have enough energy, power to send that stone high enough. However, if, like in the case of a rocket, you're able to give it enough energy, there's something in physics called escape velocity. You give it enough boost, if we can use that expression, the energy will be so much, the kinetic energy will be so much, it will overcome the gravitational pull of the Earth and it'll escape. It's amazing how the power between spiritual and natural things. You see, so many Christians, you know, that's why Christians say, oh, you cannot live above sin. You're just not putting enough energy in. That's all. That's why every time you go up, you come down. Just like that stone. But if you put your booster rockets on, so to speak, spiritually, you put the life of God in. So that's why we need knowledge of these things. You know, and we use the blood, the word, and the spirit. We pray in the spirit. Not just pray anyhow, but pray effectually and fervently. The Bible is very, very, very specific. It doesn't give room for our human, how do I call it? You know, our human, it says, no, make no provision for the flesh. You know, it doesn't give room for our human errors and, you know, because it gives us the information of what to do. So if we pray effectually and fervently, you know, we can release, he says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So much energy. If you put in that much energy, you will escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. And so we saw all of that, you know, that God wants us to escape the corruption by using the divine nature there. But he says, in addition to this, you now use this, you know, to exercise virtue. Virtue, one translation calls it goodness. It just means a resolve or a determination, internal determination to do good, to be excellent. You know, I think the Amplified Bible says, give this to me in the Amplified, if I remember rightly. Right. He says, to employ effort in exercising your faith, develop virtue, excellence, resolution. You know, to be resolved means to be determined. You know, determination for excellence. And that's so, this, it's important that Peter starts with this, the Holy Spirit, God will start with this, because it has to be your will. The Bible actually says in John, it says, if any man will do his will, then shall he know. Your will is like an antenna. You know, if it's not properly aligned with the will of God, all the other things can't follow. So the first thing is to use that energy and spiritual power to align your will. I taught this many years ago. It's still in all our prayer books, called setting your will. You need to set your will daily. Not only during communion, you do it during communion too, you know, but you should do it daily. You want to set your will, and no wonder why the Bible says God works in us to will and to do of God's good pleasure. You know, so the power of God is used to strengthen your will. Now watch this. God will not override your will. But when you, of your own free will, align your will with the will of God, then God will strengthen your will. That's what happened with Jesus at Gethsemane. You know, Jesus, you know, when he was sorrowful unto death. So he said, Father, if it be possible, you know, remove the cup from me. He said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. In other words, at that time, his will was not in line with the will of God. You know, just that it was a temptation. He didn't yield to it because he never sinned. You know, but that's why I said, not as I will. Because if I do what I will now, I don't want to go. I don't want to die. Because my soul is exceeding sorrow. So he said, nevertheless, not I will, but as thou wilt. So he now realigned his will with the will of God. You know what happened? An angel appeared. Amen. And strengthened him. Every time you pray like that, an angel appears. Oh, you don't have to see them. You know, and that's one thing many Christians are ignorant of, what we call the ministry of angels. They are there all the time. You know, we often think, angels only appear when, you know, because I'm like, Hagin has a vision or some spectacular or Ezekiel or something. You know, they're there all the time. And when you pray like that, you know, the God will send those angels and the Holy Spirit working in you, he will strengthen that will. But he will not do it if you don't align it. Because he will not violate your free will. It's your free will. Amen. But when you say, okay, yes, it's my will, but I now want to do your will, then he will now give you the strength, Christian resolution, and excellence. And when that will is there, once the will is in line with the word of God, with the will of God, then the other things begin to follow. You know, and at your, you know, in exercise, then knowledge will come. Knowledge is epignosis, means knowledge, understanding, wisdom, all of that. You know, then the next thing will be self-control. You know, use that knowledge to exercise and develop self-control. Then the next thing is patience. Then godliness. You become like God. You know, and then brotherly kindness. You become like God in the sense that you're touched with the infirmities of others. So you're kind, you know. You show them kindness, brotherly kindness. And then finally, of course, love. Love is a general embodiment of all of these things. Now, Peter says something here that is of great importance. He says, if these things be in you and abound, it will make you to be neither barren nor unfruitful. So this is just another list of the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. Same thing as the one in Galatians. The one in Galatians is a little bit more comprehensive, but it's the same thing. Amen. Remember what I told you many months ago? I'm still going to keep saying the same thing. You know, the dream is one. Everything we're preaching is one. Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the end of everything. Amen. Now, we can use different illustrations. Peter says it in one way. Paul said it another way. You know, love, joy, peace. But we're saying the same thing. Hello? So, you know, it will make you... and then he says, you will make your calling and election sure. Now, those two things are not the same. Let me give you, you know, a spiritual understanding of that. Your calling is your call to go to heaven. Everybody's called, you know. You know, God calls everybody. Sadly, some people don't make their calling sure because they don't respond to the call. You know, and then election is your... election to your destiny. See, there's a calling and then there's an election. You know, that's why he said in one place, he said many are called but few are chosen. Or you can say few are elected. You know, it's God's will for everybody to be, but because you are chosen the furnace of affliction. And if you don't make the right decisions in that place of affliction, then you will be disqualified. As far as certain levels in God are concerned, it doesn't mean you won't go to heaven. We all go to heaven. Amen. If we have Jesus in our hearts, we're all going to heaven. Amen. You know, I keep saying this all the time. Even the thief of the cross went to heaven. If the thief of the cross can go to heaven, trust me, anybody can go to heaven. Hallelujah. You know, I feel sorry for these Christians who make heaven their goal. Heaven is a gift. Amen. The thief on the cross went to heaven. Amen. And he just barely made it. This is a guy who spent all his life stealing and killing people. Amen. He was an armed robber. You know, but right there on the cross, you know, he accepted Christ and he went to heaven. Amen. And a lot of people, you're going to find a lot of people in heaven, you didn't think you're going to be there. You know why? God's not like you. It's called amazing grace. God says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repair. Well, you just give God a little opportunity, he'll get you saved. Amen. But it's a completely different ball game when we're talking about, you know, rewards. Now that's a different thing completely. All of us are in heaven, but not all of us are the same in heaven. Scripture says one star differ from another star in glory. So we're not going to be the same. So that's where the election comes in. You know, so you want to make the two things sure. Number one, you want to make your calling sure. You know, say, I'm born again, I'm going to heaven. No, you're on the road to heaven. Now, don't get off it. Because you can. You know, it is the other part of that many of the pastors, they don't like to preach all of this. There is no such thing as once born again, always born again. You must continue. He says, if you continue in my word, you're born again, sure. You're on the road to heaven, sure. God wants you to go to heaven, sure. But you can't turn your back on Jesus. We call it backsliding. You know, stop praying, stop going to church, you know, He says in works, they say the right thing, but in works they deny him. If you deny him by your actions, do you understand? He says, every branch in me that doesn't bring forth fruit, he says, he cuts it off. And he says, men gather them in the fire and they are burned. Don't make any mistake about it, they go to hell. Are you listening to me? Turn to your neighbor and say, pastor is not saying you're going to hell. I don't even want to, you know. But I want you to know that you have to stay constant in your Christianity. Are you listening to me? You have to make that calling sure. And Peter tells you how to do it here. You bring forth some fruit. You may not bring forth much fruit. You should bring forth much fruit. But at least, you know, let's know you are there. Praise the Lord. You can't say, oh, I accepted Christ. You know, that's what happened in all the denominations and all down through the years. You know, afterward, you know, what John Wesley, you know, John Wesley is this great English preacher that God raised up in the 1700s, you know, brought great revival to England, so that when England was having revival, there was a revolution in France, just across the channel. There's a book called Tale of Two Cities. It's written by, I think, Charles Dickens. Isn't it Charles Dickens, Pastor G? You know, read it. It tells you, it's a tale of London and Paris. Revival was taking place in London. Revolution was taking place in France. They were killing people with the guillotine, killed their king, and all of that. Whereas in England, you know, revival, people were getting born again through the ministry of this man called John Wesley. Anyway, what I want to say is John Wesley said that, you know, the devil has given a substitute in the church for us called mental assent. So a lot of people that go to church, you know, they'll say all the things they say, you know, we believe in the Holy Catholic Church, blah, 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 you know, we call it the Apostles' Creed, you know, but it never gets to their heart. So they don't really get born again. You know, so you can say the right words, but you have to follow it up with action and a changed life that is supernatural. The Holy Spirit births something in you. And if that doesn't take place, you know, you can say all the nice words you like, you know, if the heart is not part of the mouth. He says, with the heart man believeth, then with the mouth confession is made unto. But if the heart doesn't believe and the mouth just talks, it's not going to happen. I'm not talking to anybody here. And so that is very important. So your heart needs to be linked with your mouth so that the real new birth can take place. When new birth takes place, you know, and then you continue, you know, you continue in the word, you continue, yeah, you go to heaven. You know, so that's how you make your calling sure. To make your election sure, you have to grow spiritually. I preached a message many years ago. I say many now, I'm talking about maybe 15, 20, I can't remember exactly, called Becoming an Overcomer. And you find in the book of Revelation that there are seven rewards. You know, there are seven of them. They are increasingly glorious. The last one is that you sit on God's throne. But it starts by, you know, if you're born, you know, he that overcometh, he says, he will eat of the tree of life. Well, everybody has that. I mean, if you're born again, you start eating of the tree of life. Then he that overcometh will not be hurt of the second death. Thank God, you're not going to hell. Amen. It's something, but that's not where we're going. Praise the Lord. It's along the way. Praise the Lord. And then he says, you know, it moves on, you know, if you overcome, you begin to eat of the, you know, white stone and hidden manna. And now you now move into another realm. Now, it's not every Christian who does that. Some Christians only stay at, they will not be hurt of the second death. They all make heaven. Thank God, though. But, yeah, well, but, you know, thank God for that. But that's, that you know, such a person, you know, his calling is sure, but his election is not. Because ultimately your election is to sit on God's throne. That's where you're going. Amen. That's the price Jesus paid. Amen. He paid for you. He says he hath made us kings and priests so that we sit with him and we shall reign with him. You know, so he wants us to be, that's ultimately, you know, what he wants us to do. You know, so, you know, to make your calling and election sure, you want to make it solid. You know, and you can get to a place in your Christian life where you know it's sure. This guy writing to us, his own was sure. That's why he was able to write it. You know, we'll talk more about that in a minute. You know, so his calling was sure. You know, Peter, we just finished First Peter. You know, he said, I also who am an elder, you know, and a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. How did he know? His election was sure. He got to a place, he had grown spiritually over many years. And we all know Peter had issues. Praise the Lord. He had grown. So you make your calling and you make your election sure. And then look at, let's go to verse, where in the world are we? Verse 10. Good. Wherefore the rather, give diligence. Now we talked about this in our last lesson, I'm not over. The word diligence means applying constant, concentrated, and well-directed effort. You know, so you have to, that's why Christianity requires continuity. Hello somebody. You know, it requires continuity. It says, if you continue in my word, if, it's conditional, then shall you be my disciples indeed. So, give diligence, I didn't hear you, to make your calling an election sure. Now, it's God who's going to help you, but when you, like I said earlier on, you give your will, then when God sees that your will, you've of your free will, you've agreed with him, and you start practicing, then he will now come with strength and wisdom and help, you know, to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, let's say it another way, if you practice these things, he says, you will never fall. So there's a place in Christianity where you will never fall. That's a nice place to get to. Hello, somebody. You know, it means two things. You can look at it at two levels. Number one, it means, you know, you will never fall away from the faith. In other words, you get to a place in your Christian life where you can no longer backslide. There's a play in one of the rewards. It says, he shall no more go out. He shall become a pillar. Hallelujah. That kind of person can never, it is impossible. They can never go back to the world. They can never lose their faith again. It's good to get there, but it's not good to stay there. Hallelujah. It's a great place to be, but you can even go beyond that. Amen. You say, and then there's another place in Christianity where it says you shall never get a place where you don't even sin anymore. Hello. It's called permanent perfection. And John describes, says, you know, he that is born of God, you know, his seed remaineth in him and he cannot sin. It's available. I'm not saying people have entered it. Even Paul said, I've not got there yet, but it's available. And we're going to see people in it in this end time. Hallelujah. You know, it's really a very simple concept. You know, all these things, our religious people try and make a big deal out of it, but it's not. You know, you've heard it in the world now. Practice makes perfect. You keep practicing righteousness and you practice it long enough, you become perfected in it. And you just won't sin anymore. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Keep practicing it. You know, and a time will come, you know, a place comes where your will is so fixed in the will of God, you never will to sin anymore. You know, the more you see the folly in sin, the less attractive it becomes. The other day I was teaching about, you know, overcoming sin by revelation. The reason why people sin is because they can't see through it. It still looks attractive. That's what he did in the garden, you know. He said, they saw that it was a tree to desire to make one wise. And all that. And they were so silly because the other tree next to them would make them even wiser. Amen. God put the two trees in the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. Everything that they saw in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to desire to make one wise was in the tree of life. So had they taken the tree of life, the other one would not be attractive. Hello, somebody. All right. And so God wants you to make your calling and your election sure so you will never fall. You will not fall away from the faith. And a time can come in your Christianity where you don't even fall in sin anymore. You know, it's available and we're going to see people who are going to walk in that fullness in this end time. And it won't be two, three people. It will be a company of people. And the world will get to know. You say in Isaiah 61, He says, he's talking about those who mourn in Zion. And he says that God is going to comfort them. And then further down, you know, it says that, you know, the people will acknowledge that these are the people who are men. People will call you the ministers of our God. Because are these ones, they're not like us again. You know, it's a fulfillment of Zechariah 12:8. He says, he that is feeble among them will be like the house of David. Can you imagine? The one that is weak is like David. And you know how great David was. Then he said, but the house of David will be like God. If you can receive it, receive it. These are scriptures you don't find. They're not common scriptures. But they are there. It's right there in the Bible. Amen. The house of David shall be, you know, become like God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And so that's where we're going, folks. Hallelujah. And guess what? Don't settle for anything less. Don't settle for anything less. No matter where you got to, there's still something ahead. Amen. Until you become like God in the earth, don't be satisfied. Hallelujah. And so we saw all of that. And I put here in my notes, it's very important. It says, like Peter. You see, the person who wrote this thing, we know him. It's Peter. Loud, impulsive. Why did God record all of Peter's failures in the Bible? Is there a reason? To give you hope. Look at Romans 15 verse 4. He said, these things were written for our learning, that we through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures might have hope. When you see how God had mercy on Peter, and you look at yourself, then you say, ah, God who helped Peter can help me. Amen. Let's read together. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written what? For our learning. Turn to your neighbor, both Old and New Testament. You know, some stupid Christians say they don't, you know, it's not, we don't need the Old Testament. The Bible says all scripture, including the Old Testament. In fact, the details, the New Testament, you know, the business is small. The Old Testament is bigger in volume because the New Testament just contains the principles. But the details of how to operate those principles are contained in detail in the allegories, the parables, the stories in the Old Testament. There are many things you will not get until you go into the Old Testament. For instance, when we say pray always, you know, how do we get once every 6 hours? In the Old Testament. Because the guys who are carrying the ark, every six paces, they will sacrifice. Every six paces, they will sacrifice. Every six paces, they will sacrifice. Says, how do you know those six paces, 6 hours? Go back into the old New Testament. He says, noon, morning, day, night, Deuteronomy. It's all in the Old Testament. He says, when you get up, when you walk by the way, when you sleep, when you get four. If I didn't have the Old Testament, I cannot know how to watch and pray always in the New Testament. Amen. You need the knowledge of the Old Testament. It contains so much detail. All those funny things you see, 12 bullocks, this one, that, you know, it's all instruction. Coded by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. This thing, whatsoever. I was saying, for whatsoever. Tanjana was saying, including Leviticus. including Numbers. Thank you, Lord. He said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning. If it's written for my learning, it means it's important. Whatever was written, if no matter how boring it looks, I used to wonder about all this geology, and this one begat this, and this one begat, everything is important. There's something to learn there. You may not know it yet, oh. Just keep it. It may be in 10 years' time you begin to see something that you didn't see before. That's why you need to read your Bible over and over and over and over. You read the same thing. Next time you read, you will read the same thing. Open my eyes, I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Am I talking to anybody here? For our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. So when you look at Peter's life, you see how he was, you know, he's always one who wants to be the first. Remember him? Which is the greatest amongst us. He thought he was apostle number one. He wanted to teach Jesus a few things. Praise the Lord. Amen. St. Peter is the one who said, I will die with you. I will, you know, he denied the man three times. You know. But you know, God had mercy on Peter. You know why? Deep down in his heart, Peter was good. He really loved Jesus. And he wanted to do the will of God. But he had a lot of flesh. Just, you know. And this same Peter now is telling you, you can make your calling and election sure. If Peter can do it, you can do it. That's what God is telling us. Hallelujah. Amen. And so that's the comfort and the hope. So you have hope. Hallelujah. That your infirmities and your weaknesses will not stop you from fulfilling your destiny. If you, like Peter, continue. You know, Peter made a lot of mistakes, but he never, one thing he never did, he never went back. No matter what he did, he will rise again and he will go to the Lord, and the Lord will have mercy and help him. Even after he became an apostle and he did great miracles, raised the dead, Peter still had faults. Look at Antioch. The same Peter. Even after, you know, initially, you know, when Jesus was around, you know, and then Jesus died and went to heaven, and then Peter was like number one apostle for a while. You know, he was raising the dead. His shadow was healing people. The same Peter was still prejudiced. Paul had to confront him publicly. But he got over it. He got over it. Don't you ever say you'll get over it. You will make progress. God will have mercy on you. You will make it. Never give up. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Now, verse 11. For so... This is the good part. For so, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, what is Peter telling us here? If you make your calling and election sure, you will receive a glorious entrance into the kingdom. Now, that thing is at two levels. You know, there's a one of this life. Oh, there's a glory in this life. Hello, somebody. You know, the other day we were in when my wife got her doctorate, you know, and went for the ceremony and all that. It was very interesting to see how you know they were honoring people and all that. And I'm not against it. I'm very much for it. You know, but that's human glory. It's good, though. Has his place. Do you understand? You know, there were some people that gave them doctorates and all of that, which is great. You know, and you can see the honor. And they were deserving. These were men who were deserving. It wasn't just, you know, it was very good. You know, but the point I want to make is that if men can honor you like that, can you imagine what will happen when God honors you? Hallelujah. Amen. And not only in the life to come, but also in this life. You know, the Lord Jesus said so. Look at John chapter 12. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. There he said, an entrance I will minister to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. You see, you don't just enter the kingdom when you go to heaven. Hello. You don't just enter the kingdom where you go, oh, during the millennial reign, which I'm going to talk about too, you know, at the rewards of the bema seat of Christ. But there is also an entering the kingdom in this life. Amen. Kingdom just means the total dominion of righteousness, peace, and joy, or love, peace, and joy, the fruit of the Spirit, soul, spirit, soul, and body. That's what it really means. And when you come into that experience, there is a glory God gives you by giving you the Spirit without measure. You know, and there's a glory that comes with it in terms of honor, even from men. Now, of course, certain men will persecute you and speak evil of you, but many more will understand and see the hand of God upon you. There is an honor and a glory that is inside the kingdom. So it's worth the suffering. St. Peter, we read in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, after you have suffered a while, God will, you know, perfect, strengthen, settle, you know, establish, strengthen, and settle you. There's a place in God. Look at John chapter 12 and verse 26. I'll talk about the earthly one, and I'll go to the heavenly one. See here, he says, if any man serve me, notice I didn't put Olubi's name there, praise the Lord. Amen? It's a blank check. Anybody can do this. Hello, somebody. You know, we often think that these things are just for the pastors and John Wesley and some special, you know, super saints. Amen? Anybody can become a super saint. Amen. It's just your own decision. If a man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel. It's your choice. Do you want to be a vessel of honor, or do you just want to be an ordinary vessel? It's your choice. Hello, somebody. If any man serve me, let him follow me. The word follow there is the Greek word for mimetes, you know, mimetes, which means to mimic, imitate. In other words, just do exactly, just dub me. Just do exactly the same thing I did. And where I am, I didn't hear you. There also, my servant, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will. Do you know what it means for God to honor you? What shall be done for the man who the king delights to honor? Hallelujah. Remember that in the book of Esther?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, that was a natural king who wanted, and what did they do? They put the king's clothing upon him and then got him to ride the king's horse. And then one of the king's choice servants, too bad for Haman, was the one leading him through. Now that's in the natural. Now imagine God wants to honor you. God's going to give you his clothes. What does God wear? Light. Glory. Hallelujah. God will bring you, put the light of his glory upon you. Hallelujah. The Bible says he rides upon the cherub. So you two will start riding on cherubs. Hallelujah. It means angels will be the ones carrying you all over the whole place. Hallelujah. Amen. The same glory, the same clothing God had. And then God will get his servants, the angels and pastors and preachers, who will be saying, thus shall be done to the man that God wants to honor. All that can happen in this life. Did it happen with Paul? God honored Paul. Amen. Paul carried the glory of God. Hallelujah. Peter carried the glory of God. John carried the glory of God. Even their detractors, after a while, will say, this man. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Even Peter, who Paul criticized, you know, said the things which Paul preaches, you know, he said they are hard to be understood. He said, but those who are unlearned and unstable, rest them as they do the other scriptures. In other words, what Paul is writing is scripture. At that time, the New Testament hadn't been put together. But Peter recognized that this is scripture. Peter was like the servant who was saying, thus shall be done to the man who God wants to honor. So there is a place in God. Don't throw away your destiny for a piece of pottage. Are you listening to me? There's so much in this stuff for us. Hallelujah. In this lifetime, he will cause you. Look at Jesus in his lifetime. Of course, you know Jesus, second person of the Godhead, but you know when he was here, he was operating as a man. You know, look at how God honored him. Do you know that on the Mount of Transfiguration, hallelujah, the light covered him as with a garment. Hallelujah. Then they saw him talk to Elijah and Moses. When they came up with man, Jesus said, don't tell anybody about it yet until I'm raised from the dead. And so when he was now raised from the dead, Peter and John and others said, thus shall be done to the man who God wants to honor. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Hey, you know, so the same thing is available to you. Don't put Jesus in a class by himself. Now, in a sense, he's a class by himself because he was God who came to the flesh, you know, and he was God from eternity. But he became a man like us. So everything he did is available to you and I. It's the same glory, the same glory that was on the Lord Jesus is available to you and I in this lifetime. We shared that to you from John 17. He said, the glory which you've given me, I have given them that the world may know. So it's a glory we're going to get while we're in the world. And that glory we're going to get later. There is still another one. I'm going to talk about that one in a minute. But there is a glory for this life. Hallelujah. Where God will honor you with his glory. He will clothe you with his light. Hallelujah. He will honor you with his presence. He will honor you with his wealth. He will honor you with his wisdom. He will honor you, and men will acknowledge. Even the people who don't like you, after a while, they will have no choice but to say, this is the finger of God. Folks, Pastor Gene, it's worth the wahala. In our language, wahala means trouble. It was worth it. It's worth the fasting, the praying, the self-denial. This kind of glory, no man can give it to you. Only God can give it to you. I'm fixing on getting mine. I don't know about you. Praise the Lord. In this lifetime. Now, there's another one for the life to come. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, this is going to be our graduation ceremony in heaven. You know, like the thing went for in UI the other time, but this one will now, it won't be on earth, it will be in heaven. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and look at verse 5. Therefore, oh, open your mouth, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and make manifest the counsels of the heart. Then shall every man have praise of God. Oh, that's going to be a day, Pastor G. It's called the Bema Seat of Christ. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of things we've done in the body, whether they be good or bad. 2 Corinthians. Yeah. Therefore, no. Wrong scripture. It says, you know, thank you. For we must all appear. I didn't hear you. There's a graduation day in heaven. Everybody, from Adam right down to the last saint, all of us, they will call your name on that day. Then they will read your citation. Before all the courts of heaven. You know, the 24 elders, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the angels, and all the saints down through, everybody will be listening. What did this guy do on earth? And you know that you can't lie, you can't rig. Everything has been recorded in detail. The books were opened, and another book. The books will be opened. They will play the video back. The thought of your heart. The motivation. Why did you do what you did? The whole thing. And then your reward will be given to you. In front of the hosts of heaven. Ah, it's a day. That's a day I'm not going to miss. And it's a day. You know, we used to prepare for exam. We used to prepare to get degree. This one, I'm making every preparation. It will be a day of glory. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And they will read, just like they do in the university, they will read your citation. Then they will now, at the end of the something, they will now say what position you are going to be. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But Pastor Bega, it even goes beyond that. You know, they will say that, you know, for people who have, everybody who's been faithful. But then they'll say, you have authority over 10 cities. Another person will have authority over 100 cities. And it's not cities like Ibadan and Lagos. They're talking about planets and galaxies. Why? I used to wonder why there's so billions and billions and billions of galaxies. It's not for waste. How are we going to inherit? Oh, yes. Go on, you know, for those of you who don't know a little bit about outer space and all that, if you look at the, let's just keep it simple. Let's keep it in our solar system, you know. This, our solar system, is made up of, our sun is a star. It's called a yellow star. There are different kinds of stars, you know. And then we have revolving about 10 planets, maybe 11, you know. You know, we, Earth is, you know, you got Mars, you got some that are closer to the sun, you know, they're very hot, you know, then you got Mars. Mars is a little bit hotter than here, you know, and then it gets very cold at night, very hot during the day. And then the Earth, which is okay for habitation, and then you got the outer ones, you know, Jupiter and the bigger ones, Saturn and all of that. None of those planets as at today is habitable. You understand? If you go to some of the planets, you know, they send out all these probes, you know, some of them is full of sulfuric acid, you know, the atmosphere is full of toxic, you know, things like nitrogen and things like, you can't live there. Even Mars that is the closest to us, you know, it's going to take you 3 years. I have a friend, you know, they're doing some research now. I have a friend, you know, a schoolmate of mine from CMS. His mother was African American. His dad was Nigerian. He's been in America for the last 30 years or so. You know, after we finished in school, he went abroad. He works in NASA, you know, as I speak, you know, and he's a trajectory engineer. That's what they do. They program the computer and to program the rockets, so that's, you know, because you have to program the thing precisely. There is always an opening to go to Mars, but it comes only every 3 years. Once you miss it, you can't get it again, because you have to fire the rocket from Earth. It goes with a particular speed and it meets the orbit. So when it enters the orbit, it's able to go in, and then it will land. Once you miss that something, you can't get it again. You have to wait for another. And that's the one that's closest to us. It take you about, you know, it take you at least a year or two to get there. You know, they're planning to go there, you know, and maybe spend about some years and find it, you know. They're doing a lot of research. I don't know if Jesus would have come before they can do that, but I'm not going to spend my time on that. I wouldn't spend my time on this. This one is sure. Praise the Lord. Now, that's not to say the people who are doing that are wrong. You know, that's okay. You can learn a lot. You know, but the point is this. Those planets were not created like that. He said God did not create it in vain. That's how Earth was in Genesis 1:2. But it wasn't like that in Genesis 1:1. In Genesis, it said God created the heavens and the earth. Full stop. And the earth became. It's a process without form and void. It was just like all these funny planets, Jupiter. It couldn't stay there. And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. And God said, "Light be." And he did a renovation of this planet to make it habitable. Now he's going to do that for all the planets. Amen, sir. That's why at the end, there's going to be a crush. He says, the heavens shall be on fire, you know, and he will destroy. And then he will make new heavens, plural. And a new earth wherein dwelleth righteous. Adam's fall and Satan and Lucifer's fall affected not only this earth, but a lot of the place in the cosmos. So many of the things we see today are a consequence of that fall. And that's why you see all the planets are funny, you know. Things are not working. Asteroids, you're just hurtling through space. One came very close to us the other day, you know. And the people are afraid that one day one of these things will all hit the earth. And it'll be like what killed the dinosaurs, you know. Millions and millions and millions. It's all part of that fall of Satan. It's the fallout. Hello, somebody. But let's get back to the good news. Amen. The good news is that when your citation is read at the throne of God and your reward is presented, these are some of the things we're going to inherit. And they will say what you did, how you gave your life, how you laid down your life, how you were partaker of his sufferings, what you did, how you showed kindness and love to other people. You know, when nobody was watching, God will see it. Then he will reward you openly. He will show it to everybody and say, "This is my servant, blah, 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 blah," whatever it is, you know, and then they will give you your place in heaven. And this one is forever. It's worth it, Kunle. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. This is an honor only God can give. So you don't, thank you, Jesus. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to throw it away. You know, it's even greater than the one on the earth. Thank God for the one on the earth. But this one is even greater. You know, I was sharing with somebody recently. I said, you know, one of the reasons why we have such a carnal church is that you don't hear any preaching about heaven. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If everything is just this life, do you know what is waiting for you? The glory? Hallelujah. He says, and I'll say to this one, have authority over 10 cities. You just use cities because that's what they're going to understand. We're not talking about cities. He's talking about galaxies. Billions of them. There are more galaxies than there are human beings that have ever been created from the time of Lucifer. Oh, we know that from physics and astronomy. There are billions and billions and billions. You can't count them. That's why you know that God has a wonderful brain. I'll be talking about that in my main message. Amen. He says he called the numbers and counted the stars. What kind of computer? There is no computer we have on the earth. What we just use estimates. Do you know how many billions of stars there are? This our solar system just has one star, what we call our sun. And it has these planets revolving. We're just a small part, do you understand, of what is known as the Milky Way galaxy. The Milky Way galaxy is a small part. There are billions, not planets, billions and billions and billions of galaxies. How great thou art. Amen. But they weren't created in vain. They were created to be inherited. They were created to be inhabited. Talk about space. Talk about, you know, that's what eternity is going to be all about. It's not just going to be singing in it's not just going about singing at the throne of God. We are going to sing. Don't misunderstand me. We're going to worship God. Hallelujah. Amen. But there'll be so much going on. All kinds of construction, all kinds of civilization, planets, all kinds of wonderful things. And only if you have God's character can you be put in charge of anything. Because what happened with Lucifer will never happen again. There'll be no more rebellion. It will be forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It's what's called an eternal reward. It's worth living for. It's worth dying for. I'm not saying we're going to die. But God forbid. It's worth. This is what this guy saw. They said they saw, you know, a city whose builder and maker is God. They say, in this place we have no continuing city. That's why they were, you know, he says, men were told sawn asunder, you know, refusing to accept deliverance that they may obtain a better resurrection. Life does not end here. I got to close. I mean, I'm about to take off, but let me chill. Praise the Lord. Amen. Life does not end here. Life is not just about your car and your house and your clothes. Oh my God. No wonder why Jesus said, you know, he said, for the life is more than these things. What you will eat, what you will drink. Oh God. He said, these are the things the unbelievers are running after. Hallelujah. Life is much more than this life. I'm going to close with this point by the mercy and the grace of God. And it is this. You understand? When you understand what I am talking about, you lose the fear of death. You know why? There's something beyond this life. And that's why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could look Nebuchadnezzar in the eye, in the front of a fiery furnace, and say, our God is able to deliver us. And he will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow to your throne. Because if I go into that fire and I do die, I'm only taken off to a better place. To live is Christ. To die is gain. To depart to be with Christ is not better, far better. Until you have a revelation of the life beyond here, you will always live in bondage to the fear of death. I'm not saying you should go and die. I'm not, certainly not. I preach long life, prosperity, and all of those things. But what I am saying is that I'm living with eternity in view. Even if I'm gonna, even if I live long and I'm living long, you know, and I'm living long for a purpose, to preach the gospel. Once I've gone my job, what am I doing here? This is not my place, man. I'm serious. You know, this place, you know, it looks nice, but you haven't seen what heaven's like. The streets are gold, man. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Like somebody, one preacher said, he said, what we reverence here and we worship is what we walk on in heaven. That's the value in heaven. We walk on it in heaven. The gates are made of pearls and diamonds, you know. That's what people kill themselves for here. Yeah, it's just a gate in heaven. It's just a gate. I wish there's more preaching about heaven. Because you see, the Bible says, he that had this hope in him purified. When you begin to understand that life is beyond here, you begin to purify your Christian life. You begin to fast. You begin to pray. Because you are looking for a reward that is beyond visa. Can you now see? You're looking for a reward that is beyond visa and car and contract in Abuja and all of that. You know, the present church is so materialistic, so material minded, we've lost sight of the eternal things. Now, that's not to say we don't need the material ones. We do. Hence, the apostle says, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Let us pray. Talk to God, somebody. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I didn't even get to half of my, but it's all right. But that's okay too. Hallelujah. This is what God wants us to emphasize. Don't live for this life only. Yes, this life is important. It's very important. Don't misunderstand me. You know, you need to be victorious in this life. You need to be prosperous. You need to be healed. You need to be delivered. You need all those things. But everything of this life is only a preparation for the one that's to come. It's only a preparation. Everything I get in this life, the healing, the prosperity, the wife, the children, is all preparation for the one to come. Why will I now allow the trying to get the blessings of this life to now hinder the reward that is to come? Then I got it all upside down. I'm not talking to anybody here. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I said glory be to God. To make your calling and election sure. For so shall an entrance be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. That's what it's all. I just stopped in verse 11. My notes are up to verse 21. We'll continue next week. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. An entrance will minister to you abundantly. You know, it's sad that Christians, you know, mortgage their destiny for a piece of pottage. Mortgage it. Throw it away. Like Enoch, like Esau, wasn't that silly fellow? It was Esau. So what do I want for this birthright? So I'm hungry. Give me food now. Gratify the desires of the flesh at the expense of an eternal destiny. Don't do it. It's not worth it. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Oh, Jesus, help us. Oh, Jesus, help me. Hallelujah. 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 Great is thy faithfulness, O God, our Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Morning by morning, new mercies we see.
All we have needed,
all we have needed, thy hands have provided.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto us.
Next verse.
Summer and winter and springtime are harvest.
Sun, moon, and stars, hallelujah.
And
stars in their courses above. Join with all nature.
Join with all nature.
In manifold witness.
Manifold witness.
To thy great faithfulness.
To thy great.
Mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Hallelujah.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Morning by morning, dear mercies we see.
Lord unto us,
great
is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies we see.
Your heart, raise the other hand to God as you respond to His word. The heavens declare the glory of God. The earth is full of His handiworks, from the microscopic and subatomic unto the astronomic. We see the goodness of God. We see the faithfulness of God. We see the wisdom of God. We see the power of God. This God is worth everything we give to Him. And He's so kind, He's made us in His image and likeness that we may enjoy all of these things with Him that He has made. Raise that hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins, especially the sin of unbelief, the sin of living only for this life. Receive cleansing by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, reminding me that, Lord, I should develop and perfect your love, the fruit of the Spirit in my life, so that I will make my calling and election sure, and a great entrance be ministered unto me into the in the kingdom of heaven. Oh God, oh God, oh God, have mercy on me. Help me to remember to live for victory in this life as well as in the life to come. Help me to understand that, Lord God, as I manifest your glory and I'm rewarded with your glory in this life, so also will I be rewarded in the life to come. Help me live with eternity in view every day in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. Hallelujah. You know, folks, God wants to reveal these hidden truths and mysteries to us. The reason why, by his mercy and grace, some of us are so fixated on heaven, the glory of God, is because God has shown it to us. And God wants to show it to you too. And that's why you need to pray a lot in the Spirit. That was the way you pray in the Spirit. You speak mysteries. You begin to see beyond the mundane and the carnal and the, you know, begin to see. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, if I've told you earthly things, so you don't believe, is that will you believe I tell you heavenly things? So that thou art master on Israel and knowest not these things. God wants to show you what is on the other side. Then you will see life properly, in correct perspective, because you will see what is here, and then you will see what is there, and then you will now live your life in that, with that perspective, and then you stop living a kind. There is no way you can see these things and continue to live a kind of life. It's not possible. Once you see it, he that had this hope in him will purify himself. God bless you.